Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Real quick before we continue with Moonshine Month, if you're looking for some wrestling today, Gouge Pro Wrestling today in Raleigh, North Carolina. You also have the Young Guns Tournament presented by Do or Die Pro Wrestling in Indianapolis, Indiana, a huge tournament today. And don't forget, like usual, in Paris, Kentucky, Prime Time Wrestling. And in our neck of the woods in Portland, Oregon, Blue Collar Wrestling. Without further ado, I want to welcome our guest. He is the next member of the Moonshine family to join us here for Moonshine Month. Lance Dean, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you for having me back on. I figured last time
now
I had a little after.
It has been a bit, and since the last time you were with us, it's been a rough time for your family. Paul has been doing some questionable things. He has joined the Freak Show. He has changed his name to Paul Freakshine. What's the family dynamic like right now? What's going on in the Moonshine family?
Well, honestly, I don't talk to Paul very much. I kind of feel like he's being a bit selfish because the only time I ever hear from him is whenever he sends me one of his promos to be shared. The route that he's taken, I think that he is thinking he's going to get more money by being with the Freak Show, that he's going to get more fame and glory. But when it comes down to it, family is what counts and what matters the most. And I decided to go my separate way, but I think I did it in a more tasteful way. You know, on my way out the door, I tried my best against the Freak Show in the cage match that we had. Damn near got my hand broken that match with a golf club in the hand. So I think the way Paul chose to leave the Moonshiners versus the way I chose to leave the Moonshiners, there's two different dynamics going on there.
Now, you've had a turbulent time as a member of the Moonshine family. You started your career and then not too far into it revealed that Paul was actually your biological father after he had encountered your mother on the road as a truck driver. You teamed with both your half-brother and your cousin. You've been on shows with your other relatives in the Moonshine family, but then you also had falling outs and reconciliations with same family. Do you think that Paul kind of took a lead from you going in and out of the family? Do you think that that opened his eyes to worlds outside of the Moonshine family?
So you're basically asking me what my decisions that I made maybe affected something Paul decided to do. I think Pa is, you know, he's been around this earth for a long time, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's networked, aligned himself with different people in order to, I believe, get a foot up on the wrestling business here. Pa, in fact, I don't know. I don't even know what's going on with the whole moonshine business. I don't know if that's still a thing, or I just feel like he's got Stockholm syndrome, that he's happy to be mingled in with the freak show now. He's, you know, whatever they do behind closed doors, you know, he's not letting me know any of this, and it worries me. But you know what? I got to make my own living in the business. I got to drive on. I got to win matches, and I can't focus on what he's deciding to do. That's just my opinion on that.
One of the things that the Moonshiners have branched into in the last year or so is merchandising. There's been a lot of Moonshine merchandise put out on merchandise tables all over the Northwest, so much so that the Young Bucks flew to Seattle to scope it out unannounced at one point last year. I know you're not regularly with the other members of the Moonshine family at this point, but do you still get merchandise money from the sales of Moonshine shirts, hats, coloring books, that type of thing, or have they cut you out of the profit sharing?
Well, I really don't like to air family business like this out on the airways, but I'll go ahead and be honest with you and straight up. Whatever the Moonshiners have been making on merchandise, it's strictly been their money. And I say the Moonshiners, I know I'm talking about myself too, but I'm trying to kind of, just like they're trying to have their own entity, I'm trying to break away and do my own thing. But there are some photographs with me, you know, with Cousin Jameson, J.D. Moonshine, and, you know, back when he was calling himself Paul Moonshine, you know, like I said, all those pictures together, I'm fine with them, selling them as is and like that. And like I said, I don't need to reap the money that comes off of that. I'm not harboring any kind of ill will or anything. I kind of want to see Paul understand in the end that family means more than money. You know, we're all going to have our fights and squabbles. We're all going to have our problems and disagreements and not seeing eye to eye. But what he's doing now is, Paul's living out his golden years with a freak show doing God knows what. And, I mean, is he doing anything illegal? Is he doing, you know, those are my questions. Not saying I'm the most straight and narrow guy myself, but what's Paul up to? What is it that's keeping him from telling us what's going on in his personal life?
One of the ways you've been standing out from the other members of the Moonshine family is by wrestling in promotions where you're the only member of said family. You've wrestled in places such as Oregon Wrestle Club and for places like the Lucha Libre Portland promotion. When you go into a new promotion and there's no one from your family in that locker room, what's the initial feeling like for you when you're used to having at least a couple of members of your family in the locker room with you?
Well, first I want to correct you on the Oregon Wrestling Club. I've never wrestled for them, but as far as Portland Lucha Libre has been a new promotion that I've been wrestling for, and eventually they're trying to combine the Lucha Libre style and American style matches together on one card. Lately it's been, you know, an American style match, Lucha match, back and forth. But back in that locker room, I mean, not having JB there to give me some advice here every now and then, and, You know, JB's the type of guy who he'll give you a drink of moonshine before you even go out there. And he's just, he's so well liked by everybody and respected. I mean, honestly, this man comes here before the show and helps put up the ring. I mean, he has never forgot to pay his dues, or he's never acted like he's some egotistical person that can't be approached. But not having him in the locker room, sometimes maybe having him in the locker room may be a bit of a distraction for me to focus on my game plan, because the Moonshiners, we have a great time together. When we all get together and we're all having a ball, drinking, you know, playing cards, whatever, we have a good time, and sometimes we can lose focus on things like what the key points are to win a match, and things like that. But I just got to get out on my own and see how things go. I can't focus on the past, and that's just one of these things I'm doing with Portland Lucha Libre.
The Lucha Libre style is something completely different from any other style of pro wrestling in the world. It takes a lot of guys a long time to adjust to that style for the most part. Have you been doing a lot of the Lucha style matches in this new promotion, or have you stayed strictly in the American portions of the card?
Well, I stayed wrestling the American portion of the card, as you'd like to say. I have had some experience with Lucha Libre. The very first trainer that I ever went to go check out was in Hillsboro, Oregon, and it was a guy by the name of Tito Carrion, who wrestled for the WWF. Everything that he taught us was, of course, on the opposite side. So there's a lot of differences. There's a lot of acrobatics, a lot of catching your opponent off guard, a lot of dives. You don't see a lot of that out of me. I know I try to keep it on the mat for the most part. I brawl. There's a lot to lose in Lucha if you miss a dive or you know, twist an ankle or whatnot. But I really respect it. I respect the tradition, that it's the technicals versus the rudos, where there's a definite dividing line in who the fans want to cheer for versus who the fans despise. Say in American style wrestling, you don't see that as much. A guy like Stone Cold Steve Austin could be loved by everybody because he beats up his boss and tells him to, you know, F off. And versus, hey, that's him. He's being an a-hole, and why would you do that to your boss? So there's just different views coming from the different styles of good versus evil.
Now, Lucha Libre is something that has caught on with fans over the last several years, and we've seen some of the Lucha Libre groups out of Mexico actually tour the United States on a limited basis. Do you think that enough American wrestlers are training and learning the style of Lucha Libre so that they can adapt when opportunities do arise for these Lucha groups?
I honestly don't think that we really get to explore a whole lot of it. I mean, if you remember Aries Toretto when he was down here in Portland, and he was training people, he was teaching some of the Lucha style moves. But I think for the most part, where I do learn stuff like that would be like seminars, watching video matches like Rey Mysterio versus Psicosis, AAA, CMLL. You know, even if I can only understand like a few words of Spanish, I can just mute it and just watch it for the worth of Lucha Libre.
there's one person that's been a thorn in my side that you have also come across on occasion. He is Lucha Libre-esque, I guess, if you want to call it that. That being that idiot, Darth Carta. There is a bounty on his head. I know you haven't collected it yet, but is collecting that bounty on the head of Darth Carta something you have considered?
Actually, it is something I've considered, because when it comes to the wrestling, I like to go where the money is at. And the thing of it is, I think the last time I was in the ring with Darth Carta, I hit him pretty hard on top of the head with an elbow to the point where he seemed kind of drowsy like the next couple of minutes. I think I got him pretty good. Darth Carta, you know, he's really been showing himself on Facebook a lot lately. I've seen a picture of him in the Greco-Roman knuckle lock, and then you make a comment that you wish that you would have broke his wrist or something like that. Yeah, Darth Carta, he's unpredictable. He's a bumbling idiot. You rarely see him, you know, go to the top rope and do anything too fancy. The reasons I don't know. I've been in the ring with him. I kind of want to demask him in a way. I just, you know, I know that's not tradition in Lucha Libre. That's kind of like the wrong thing to do, is try to take somebody's mask off. But Darth Carta, he deserves it. He deserves for everyone to see the true identity of who he really is.
I would hope that rather than the mask, like the career would be the goal, because that's where you get the bounty money. That's where you collect the bounties.
I'm pretty sure when the mask came off, the career would be the next thing to go.
One would hope. If you break his leg, you break his leg. Now, speaking of breaking that idiot's leg, everyone knows that professional wrestling is a very physical business, and injuries are just part of that. Everybody's going to have the occasional minor injury. A lot of us get major injuries. What would you say have been some of the injuries in your career that so far you've had to overcome?
Well, of course, the first one that I can remember, it wasn't very long ago, was in the Hellbilly Cage match, where Big Vicious raised the golf club above his head and brought it down on my hand, sandwiched it in between a cinder block. Thank God I was able to recover somewhat in the match and avoid using my hand until it was over with. And then I was straight out of there, straight to the hospital to get it checked out. But I've had other things. Of course, you know, the bumps, the bruises, the black eyes, busted lips. I've had, I broke my hand, speaking of Lucha Libre. A lot of people don't know this about me, but before I was actually going to wrestle a match for Tito Carrion, my first match versus a guy named El Toro. And back then, you know, there's so many El Toros, but I was actually training for a match, and my right finger snapped all the way off of a guy's kneecap. I was going for a sunset flip, and somehow my finger got snapped all the way back. So it set me back. I wasn't able to wrestle. Kind of got away from the business for a while. Other things that I've had happen to me, I've had my stomach muscles. I've had them spasm on me a lot from taking shots in the stomach. Can't recall if I've had any concussions, but I might have had one or two. And I've had other stuff that I can't even remember.
Now, concussions are also sort of a hot topic right now, because medical science has learned a lot more in regards to the effects of the concussions, the long-term consequences, and so forth and so on. Do you think that enough on an independent wrestling level is being done to protect the performers from the long-term consequences of concussions? Or do you think that all the proper care is being given and there's just not a lot that they can do to enforce such?
Well, I don't know if you recall, but the WWE, Vince McMahon, has a general rule of no headshots to anybody. And I guess there's probably a stiff penalty, maybe money taken away from them financially, possible firing. But down in the Indies, there's no rule or legality saying, hey, if I hit this guy in the head with a chair and he has brain damage and he's a vegetable for the next maybe the rest of his life, there's really no consequence to it. I don't feel like there's a general rule that's been set in place for that. Things get out of hand in the ring. Emotions, people get it gets the best of them. And there's times somebody will pull a chair out from under that ring and swing it as hard as they can and not thinking that, hey, I might just end this guy's career with this, what I'm doing. And sometimes it doesn't go through a person's head at the time. Even with hardcore wrestling, I mean, chair shots, you think chair shots are bad. Cement blocks to the head, things like that. I mean, these are things that you can't take back.
Very, very true. Now, one of the more underrated parts of professional wrestling as far as successive shows is the ring announcer. A lot of people may not fully appreciate what a good ring announcer can do, but they are generally the face of the company. They are whom the fans will see as that face of the company. A lot of ring announcers interact with the fans during the course of the show, much more so than anyone else that works for the company generally. They can bring an energy to the show that makes fans enjoy it a little bit more than what sometimes the show itself is putting out there. They can also hurt a show if they don't have that energy and they aren't doing the best that they can. Who would you say right now, based on what you see at shows, are some of the better ring announcers out there today that should get the proper credit?
Well, first of all, I'd like to say that Matt Listening's doing a really good job over there at Blue Collar Wrestling on Sundays at 6 p.m. He seems to be, he seems to be knowledgeable about where the wrestlers are from, things like that. It's really horrible when you get a ring announcer that announces you out by, the wrong. The wrong hometown, the wrong weight, or maybe even get your name wrong altogether. Matt's pretty good about getting everything correct. Over in Portland, Lucha Libre, we have Al Tubbs, who comes out and kind of does the ring announcing for the American matches. He's always really flashy, catches the crowd's attention. To me, the ring announcer does have to be somebody who's a little bit flashy, who people can identify with, and somebody who can go in the intermission and maybe talk a fan, maybe get other fans excited about coming to other shows. I mean, there's a lot more to it, in my opinion, than just being a ring announcer. Like I said, you are the face of the company. Just like a wrestler would want to promote himself every week, the ring announcer, wants to promote the show that he's on the same way, promote everybody in a fair and unbiased way. And I think Matt's good at doing that.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure he has a plethora of questions as well, so I'm going to pass things to him.
All right,
well,
bring it
you
on.
Hello, Lane.
Oh, yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me back. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Now, Lance, I came up with what I think is a good idea, and I'll run it by you. What if I talked to Patty from Patty's home plate, and she was able to place under the seat at Blue Collar Wrestling a super secret ticket, and if you get that ticket, you can be a valet and escort for a wrestler or tag team of your choosing if you ran it by Tex Thompson. Do you think that would be a good idea, your average fan?
You know, I think it'd be a possibility. Yeah, you'd have to run it through the proper people, kind of the chain of command. You know, Patty would have to know about it. Of course, you'd have to go to Tex, and then the booker, you'd have to talk to them. And yeah, that'd be an option. I think it would be something that would get people to want to come to BCW even more. And it make them feel like they were part of the show. I think a lot of people want to be part of the show, but they need to know the boundary of what we do in the ring versus, you know, not any Joe off the street can just come in here and do this. And even if they did win that ticket, there would probably have to be some guidelines that we'd have to go over with them. Because, I've seen it before. I've seen fans or try to step over that barrier and, you know, try to get too personal with the action, and they end up getting hurt. So, but, yeah, to answer your question, I do think it'd be a possibility to do that.
Have you, at Blue Collar Wrestling, when you were present, were there ever any fans that peeked through the locker room curtain bore tasty treats like marshmallow puffs or something like that, or s'mores or fruit pies?
Oh, so were there any fans peeking through trying to offer those goodies, is what you're saying?
Or just hand them out at random, yes, being an anarchist.
Well, we got very good security there in the locker room, but I'm pretty sure, you might be able to pay off one of the security people to hand deliver maybe a fruit pie to someone. I mean, for some reason, I came to the back after a match and discovered there was a fruit pie in the back with my name on it, and I'm like, how did that happen? And but yeah, so security must not be that great, but you know, I guess that's something that's appreciated, you know, to every now and then get a treat, even though we got to keep our figure out there in the ring.
Oh, okay. Well, Lance, you talked about going through the chain of command with ideas for Blue Collar Wrestling, if you wanted to approach the higher ups at Blue Collar Wrestling. Now, in the military, there are two branches, enlisted and officer. Now, of course, the enlisted starts out as you're a recruit. Let's say in the Navy, you start out as a recruit, and then you go on as a seaman apprentice, and then a seaman, and then as an E3, a seaman, and then you reach the rank of petty officers. Well, the top enlisted rankings in the Navy are senior chief and master chief for the enlisted side, not the officers. Who in Blue Collar Wrestling, if a fan was very enthusiastic with an idea that might be able to boost attendance, if it was like on a wrestling BCW wrestling poster, who would approach in the enlisted ranks that's high up in the BCW hierarchy? Enlisted.
Well, if I had to say, I guess, well, I'll use the Army side of things because I was in the Army for 10 years. I would say the first sergeant would be Tex, And I would say maybe the commander would be maybe Patty. I think those would be the two that would be the highest in command there.
I see. Who would in at Blue Collar Wrestling be the rank of major or O4?
Major. Well, I have to say, to me, a major would probably be like a leader of the locker room, if I had to say that. You know?
Oh, okay.
I would have to. You know what? Maybe say it would maybe be Bad Blood.
Well, Bad Blood. I would always, I would kind of equate him with being a lieutenant or O1.
Yeah, well, no, I could see him as a lieutenant or a major, possibly. But so that idea that you were coming up with, is that going to be something you try to bring to the table real soon?
Oh, yeah, a super secret ticket that if you do get it, you could be a valet. Yes, I myself am going to say, I think I'll approach this with Patty, maybe in a written letter, and I will go through T-Rex to begin with to get the chain of command going, T-Rex, and then maybe he could forward it to Dick Thompson or Patty.
Yeah, kind of like a good old game of telephone. Or,
yes.
You know, you can just go hand deliver it.
Oh, hand deliver a letter, yes. But keeping in mind that you shouldn't just walk backstage and hand deliver a letter.
No, not at all. Not at all. No.
Oh, okay.
That would be the, that wouldn't be good at all.
Well, Lance, as you know, at Blue Collar Wrestling, they have one of the more fan-friendly favorites of having the wrestlers and fans intermingle at intermission. They seem to have the most participation of fan and wrestler interaction in the Northwest. Maybe that would be a good time to approach T-Rex with an official outline of this Be a Ballet ticket, I think. Yes.
No, it'd probably be a good time to talk to T-Rex, maybe pass it by Douglas Rockefeller, or he might be somebody that would pass it along to her. But yeah,
oh, okay.
That would be a good time.
I'm just saying, how ironic would it be if Darth Carter were able to get one of those tickets and he himself would end up being the valet or consultant manager to the Freak Show for one match and walk them down the aisle. Darth Carter.
Well, it might be the other way around. They might be the one walking him down the aisle in a leash.
Oh, that's true, too.
I heard Darth Carter likes that kind of stuff. He doesn't mind someone being domineering towards him. Or
oh,
no, I'll say it. I can't say him or her. I don't know what Darth Carter's gender is. I have no clue.
I see. Well, this is the day and age of gender fluidity. Yes, I admit that. Yes. Gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Lance, both Sign Guy and myself were at the Key Peninsula Civic Center last night in Bonn, Washington, and we saw a manager, I'm sure you're familiar with her, Polychromatic. Now that you are not wrestling for PA anymore or with JB, have you contacted her for a possible tryout, Polychromatic?
Actually, I haven't, and I haven't met her yet, so... what's the credentials? How long has she been managing, and why would you think I would need a manager? That's just my question.
She seems to be a very sharp dresser, and she has aligned herself with one of my favorite Northwest wrestlers, Mikey Mustache. and Mikey Mustache seems to have flourished under her. Although Mikey Mustache is now wearing a dress because he lost a, like a stipulation match. That's a drawback.
Oh, God, don't remind me. Don't remind me. I know, I know exactly how it feels. Losing a match and having to wear a dress is like the worst thing ever. Mikey Mustache, I do remember him. I do remember seeing him, and he's come a long way. He actually started in Inland Pro Wrestling over in Spokane. And over the time, he has developed his career and learned his craft. He's getting better and better.
Well, for our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans who might not be too familiar with Mikey Mustache, can you tell our listeners how he lost that stipulation match and had to wear that dress that some say it looks better in?
Well, I actually wasn't there for that match. This is all new to me that he wore a dress. But what I'm saying is I could feel for him. I know his pain, and you have to, you know, hear it from people from time to time. You want to bring up the past and stir it up, but I can appreciate that he's still out there working hard as ever, even though he had to wear a dress at one time. So he's basically trying to undo what's been done to him. Probably a very dark chapter of his life.
I see. Well, there seems to be some fans that have taken to him right away, and while other fans seem to be booing him, there's a cluster of fans that will stand up and cheer wildly, and he'll look at them and be rude to them and tell them to shut up and sit down. Mikey will say that, but they'll cheer even louder. Yes. Have you yourself ever come across a fan that you may despise, you yourself have told to sit down and shut up, but they still continue to applaud wildly every time? Yes.
Well, I mean, I've seen a few fans that do that, and a lot of them are just doing applauding and doing all that as a sarcasm for me. They're trying to, you know, act like they're cheering for me when they're actually not. Like I said, when you come and pay your money to come to a show, you're entitled to cheer somebody, boo somebody, whatever you want to do. It's a free country. But some fans, yeah, I've had fans that have booed me no matter what, cheered me no matter what. And those same fans that were like that come up to me when the show's over and try to shake my hand and, you know, tell me, hey, good job. So I feel that some fans try to put on a front towards the wrestlers in a way.
Front, okay, yes, okay, in act, or okay, very good. I got to tell you, Lance, there's one fan that really doesn't like Polychromatic. He was seen holding up a sign last evening that said, "Polychromatic stole my kibasa sausage." Yes, one of the, kind of a strange sign, but yes.
Yeah, like I said, that was probably another one of those subliminal message signs. You know, some fan was trying to get some attention, so they figured that they would, you know, conjure up a sign like that. It's, I don't know, it's funny. You see people come to the shows, and it's just like, you never know what you're going to get. It's random, you know.
Well, I peered out of the in the crowd at BCW once and saw a sign that said, "Pa Moonshine stole my welfare check." Do you know if Pa is really hard for financial cash to steal someone's welfare check?
Well, I can't say for sure if he would steal a welfare check. Yeah, I really don't know Pa Moonshine like I used to. Like I was telling Sign Guy earlier, the only time I hear from Pa Moonshine is when he sends me a promo to share on Facebook. Other than that, I don't hear from him. It's funny you say that. Paul Moonshine, I think rather than steal a welfare check, I think that he's decided to jump to the Freak Show because he thinks he's going to come out with more money in the end and have a nice retirement check is what he's hoping for, a good retirement check.
I see, retirement check. Well, okay. All right, I could see that.
That's the thing,
okay.
If Paul can save the money. See, I think Paul has a gambling problem. I think he likes to play those video lottery machines, and I don't see him saving money when he's doing stuff like that. And drinking white Russians.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay. Very, very interesting. Okay. Well, Lance, go ahead.
Yeah, it's a bit of a morning drink. He likes white Russians sometimes, so I don't know.
White Russians?
When he plays video lottery.
Long Island iced tea person. Long Island iced tea. Yeah.
Well, if you put him in front of a video lottery machine, I'm pretty sure he'll drink anything.
Wow. So. Interesting. Oh, okay. Holy smokes. Okay. Well, Lance, time travel is a subject we often bring up on the Turnbuckle Turmoil show. I'll bring it up to you today. If you could time travel, which one of these matches would you choose to attend over the other ones and why? And now I'm going to list three matches. April 30th, 1977, Bruno Sammartino versus superstar Billy Graham, which Graham won by a pinfall. And then there's December 26, 1983, Bob Backlund versus the Iron Sheik. The Iron Sheik won when Backlund's manager, Arnold Scollin, threw in the towel. And the last one, January 6, 1984, the Iron Sheik versus Jay Strongbow. Iron Sheik won by submission. Which one would you most like to attend and watch?
Well, if I had to go and attend any of those, I would have to go back to the Bob Backlund versus the Iron Sheik where the towel got thrown in, because that match out of the three was the most different. It's the manager that threw the towel in, am I right?
Yes, Arnold Scollin.
Right, and it was thrown in on Bob Backlund. But anyway, it was just, to me, Bob Backlund wasn't a guy that was a quitter. You know, he was very well versed in submissions. He used to know how to make a person tap out. And in my opinion, a lot of people overlooked him because he didn't have a over the top character compared to maybe some of the other people. I mean, he was a really smart guy, but I feel like he maybe didn't get the credit he deserved. The Iron Sheik, though, he was somebody that would break your back and not think twice about it. And putting those two together in a match, to me, was just a recipe for a great match to watch if I had
to
go back in time.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, the Iron Sheik was known to be pretty stiff. Yes.
Right. And I also heard Billy Jack Haynes was, too, from what I heard.
Oh, Billy Jack, yes. Yeah, he could be. That was one of the more famous heel turns ever in Portland wrestling history. Did you see when he turned heel?
No, I didn't see that. I did not see that.
Oh, okay. Well, you might want to go on YouTube and see Billy Jack Haynes heel turn Portland wrestling.
Oh, I'll make sure to check that out when I get a chance.
It's quite
Sounds
remarkable. It's almost as it ranks up there with a Buddy Rose face turn. Not quite though. That was a pivotal moment in Portland wrestling history. The face turn of Buddy Rose. Yes. Okay. You've got both a face turn and a heel turn to watch on YouTube.
Oh, looks like I got some homework to do then.
Yes. Okay.
I'll make sure to get on that.
Okay. All right. Well, Lance, you did not choose the April 30th, 1977 Bruno Sammartino versus superstar Billy Graham, or the January 6, 1984 Iron Sheik versus Jay Strongbow. Out of those two matches, which would you choose next?
Well, I would have to go with so you said of the Iron Sheik versus Jay Strongbow, and then there was Bruno Sammartino. I would have to go with the Iron Sheik and Jay Strongbow. That'd be my next choice.
Okay. All right. Wow. Is there any wrestler at Blue Collar Wrestling currently that reminds you of Chief Jay Strongbow?
Well, let's see. I'd have to think about who it would be. Let's see. Well, right now we don't have too many wrestlers that are like the Chief, but I'm pretty sure the Chief was a hell of a chopper when he came to throwing chops. Really tough guy, but if I had to compare the Chief to anybody, I don't know. I'd probably have to go. And wouldn't necessarily be off of tradition, a traditional Chief. I think it'd have to go off of the intensity of somebody. And I don't know. Right now, Gregor Petrov is pretty intense when it comes to somebody that you have to face. So the intensity level is what I would talk about when I was Jay Strongbow, not necessarily the character.
Okay. All right. That's good. Now, speaking of Gregor Petrov, Lance, I asked Gregor Petrov on the show if he would like to start a line of products called Kickstart My Heart Jumper Cables. And he seemed kind of cool on the idea. Is there any chance that you would speak to him for me and maybe throw in maybe some of my resumes, if I could give you some of my resumes, about marketing and mass production? And you could probably maybe convince Gregor to start a Kickstart My Heart Jumper Cable line of production with me, if you could put in a word for me. Yes.
Well, I could put a word in for you, possibly, but I don't know. Do you speak any Russian at home?
Do I speak Russian?
I think he would respect me a lot more if you knew I speak a little bit of Russian.
Okay.
I mean, I'll put the word out and see what he says, but I can't make any guarantees, Is this all your idea, or is this like an idea that a bunch of people came up with?
Oh, well, it was my solo idea, and it was inspired by Nikki Sixx of Motley Crue. Yes.
Okay. So is Nikki Sixx going to get some of the money if this thing, goes viral and gets big?
I think I can contact Motley Crue's road manager, yes. I'll try to
do
that.
You know, speaking of Motley Crue, do you know who used to be one of Motley Crue's bodyguard members?
Not the Iron Sheik.
No, do you remember Test, right?
Oh, yeah, Test.
Andrew Martin, yeah, he used to be a bodyguard member of Motley Crue's.
Wow, holy smokes. Okay, that's a bit of wrestling trivia
you can go YouTube that.
Wow, maybe there will be videos of Test providing services for Motley Crue, security service.
Yeah.
Wow. Ooh, okay, that's my homework assignment. Very good, very good.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Well, Lance, we had on Sin Bodhi about 3 weeks ago, and also Pa 2 weeks ago, and for the first time in Turnbuckle Turmoil history, we had both of them play the same Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk, where they were given the same choices in two subject matters. Would you like to hear what both Pa and Sin Bodhi chose with the same choices.
Yeah, sure, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Okay, we opened up Bring on the Choice, Bring on the Funk with Drop Toe Hold or Crippler Crossface. And both Pa and Sin Bodhi chose Crippler Crossface.
Mm-hmm. Well, of course, a drop toe hold is usually a move to set up another move on the ground. So it's obvious why they would pick Crippler Crossface.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, we also gave them the choice Scottish kilt or three-piece Armani suit. And Pa has always been a pretty good dresser, so he chose three-piece Armani suit while Sin Bodhi chose Scottish kilt.
Okay. Well, Pa, yeah, Pa is a sharp dresser. I gave him a little advice that maybe he should get a new tie. I want him to get one of cow skull ties. I think it would be really good with his suit. But, you know, me and Pa don't talk anymore. So, actually, the last time Pa did anything was kick me in the side of the face in my match against Zach Winters when I was outside the ring. So, me and Pa is kind of a sore subject there. Sin Bodhi, though, wearing a kilt. Right now, I don't know. It's getting to be the wrong time of year, but maybe it depends on where you live in the state. Maybe Sin Bodhi can go somewhere where it's nice and comfortable, and, you know, a kilt wouldn't be so bad to wear.
Yeah, like Key West.
You wouldn't freeze your arse off.
Yes. I think Mikey Mustache is in the process of learning that. Okay. And I'll give you two more examples. We asked both of them Kofi Kingston or Scott Borash. And Pa chose Kofi Kingston, and I believe Sin Bodhi chose Scott Borash, but I'm not sure of that one. But Pa chose Kofi Kingston.
Oh, so on who the better wrestler is what he chose him on? Or?
No, just a choice. Right off the top of your head, who would you prefer? Yes.
Well, I'm more familiar with Kofi Kingston than Scott Borash, so no, I'd probably have to pick Kofi Kingston too.
Oh, okay. Wow. All right, and the last one, Fast Times at Ridgemont High or Caddyshack, and Pa chose Caddyshack.
Well, you know, Pa, I can't remember, but I think that he's doing golf. I think, like, that's one of his favorite sports, so I could see him choosing that. And plus, it's
okay
as well.
Yes. Who is your favorite character in that movie? I'm gonna guess Judge Smells.
Well, you hit the nail right on the head right there. Judge Smell.
Wow. All right. Okay. Well, at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy, and I will try to contact probably Tex Thompson or Patty about my super secret ticket to be a valet. I've been inspired by you. Yes.
Well, hopefully your plan makes it to the proper person, and it might happen. Anything could happen at BCW, yeah.
Well, all right, I'll try to go through T-Rex first. Yes.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, back to you, Sun Guy.
Thank you, QT. I'll answer QT's question begs the obvious follow-up here. Besides your own Paul, have you had very many managers and or valets in your career?
Well, I've actually had quite a few. I'm not very proud to say, but Mary Lou Moonshine was kind of a valet of mine when all of us Moonshiners were together. I also, Al Tubbs has accompanied me to the ring back when I used to do the WCWC student shows. He used to manage me there. As far as managers and valets go, I'm trying to think of, I'm pretty sure I had a few more over the time. I've had also, not really proud to say, but the Brandt Dynasty with Mr. Kevin Brandt. He was my manager for a little bit until that deal went sour. And that's pretty much who I can recall for now.
Well, Lance, is there anything you want to say to the fans or plug and promote social media, upcoming shows, merchandise, your favorite bakery, anything?
Yes, I'd like to promote Blue Collar Championship Wrestling. That's going to be tonight at 6 p.m., 7611 North Exeter at the North Portland Eagles Lodge. The following week, Homicide's going to be there from Impact Wrestling to go against the Freak Show's meet. I think that's going to be on the 27th at DCW. So that's something you don't want to miss. Lucha Libre Portland, which will be coming up November 9th, and a possible tournament is going to happen at that show. So those are two shows that you don't want to miss. And Portland Lucha Libre is over in Gresham, off 182nd, the Nova Learning Center, and that is right behind the McDonald's over there in Gresham there.
I know a guy that once saved Gresham, but Lance Dean, thank you very much for being on the show today. We appreciate it, and best of luck to you as you continue on with that career of yours.
All right. Well, thank you, fine guy. You know, if you ever get a spot for me on here, feel free to ask me, and I will definitely come back on the show.
For sure. Definitely we'll have you back. And it looks like we have someone else calling in. Let's see who this is. Do we have the other caller on the line?
This is Mr. X.
Mr. X,
now,
the mysterious Mr. X. What do we owe the pleasure of this?
I have a message for Darth Carta. Next week.
That it is, Darth Carta.
Next week, Saturday. And Tacoma. It's going to be me and Darth Carter in a match. And Darth Carter, he needs to be prepared to be taking a nap.
So you're challenging Darth Carter to a match next week. Would that be at the PWF in Tacoma?
That's right, at PWF in Tacoma. Next week, next Saturday. And him.
That is huge. And Mr. X, may I point out to you, I do have a bounty on the head of that idiot Darth Carter. If you could end his career for me, that'd be.
Well, if I end his career, that's just too bad for him. One way or the other, he is going down.
Sounds like a very familiar voice there.
You're just never lying about this place.
Well, Mr. X, I look forward to that, and I want to wish you the best of luck on that. I hope that you snap that idiot in half. I hate that guy. I hate him with a passion.
Well, one way or the other, he's going down. I don't know. I don't care if I put him to sleep or break even two. One or the other, he's going down.
If you could get a veterinary on board to put him to sleep, I would still give you the bounty money.
That's exactly what's going to happen. And QT, you don't get involved because I will snap you in two also.
Can't I win that golden ticket from Patty and be your valet?
you would never look good in a dress. And I don't know who Patty is, but we'll come to that someday.
Well, Mr.
Wow.
X, I look forward to next week, and I hope you end that idiot's career once and for all. He's been a thorn in my side. I look forward to seeing what you can do in the ring.
Well, I thank you very much for letting me have this time to put the challenge out there, and that I will see him next week.
All right, fans, you've heard it here. Iron Buddha level shocking news. Mr. X versus Darth Carter next week in Tacoma. That's a benefit show at the high school. Definitely be there for that. That's going to be huge. Absolutely huge. We'll be back with you next week, next Friday afternoon. We got the big pimp with us, PT Hustler. And a week from today, we're going to wrap up Moonshine Month with Mad Dog Cousin Jameson. So be sure to be with us. And we will talk to you next week.